You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for attending your radio Bible class. And that's what Exploring the Word is. We want to get into the Word of God and share the Word of God, equip the saints, and also call those who have never been born again to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bert Harper, and usually you hear another voice, and it's Alex McFarland. But Alex is on the road. He flew out of North Carolina this morning, early, he said, and he was flying to Billings, Montana. Man, that's nearly all the way across the whole nation, and he's having his first camp this week. It's a camp where they help apologetics, young people, know the truth of God's Word. And so we want to pray for them. I know it's several. I'm not going to give a number. He's going to be involved, but it's all the way in Georgia, I know, and at different places. So you can go to alexmcfarland.com, and you can find out more about that camp. And I think if you want to have your young people to go, I think it would be a blessing. Setting in for our illustrious co-host, Alex McFarland, is Matthew White. Matthew, thank you for coming along and being a part of Exploring the Word.
As always, Brother Bird, it's good to be here. I appreciate you guys inviting me on.
Well, we appreciate you, your love, and I mean this. You love the Lord, you love His Word, and a student of His Word. And what you do here at AFA is write articles, right?
That's correct.
You do what I hate to do. You know, when I pastored, I had to write an article every week for our newsletter. And I told them they paid high bucks for this. I'd preach for free. But when it comes to writing, it's further from my brain to my hand than it is to my mouth. So it takes a while. But I appreciate it. Good articles. Tell me, can you remember the article that you've written in the stand?
I can. I mentioned those on the last program last week, but I wrote about the World Health Organization and then their attempt to take over national sovereignty. And then I wrote about these atrocious persecutions from the Department of Justice, where they are violating our pro-life activists with this FACE Act.
Right.
And so trying to get that information out there.
Has the World Health Organization, have they had that meeting?
They have. And
was it shut down? Their grasp of power?
To my understanding, it was, to a degree, but of course that doesn't mean that it's not going to come back.
You mean it'll raise its head again?
It'll raise its head again.
Well,
they're already in the process of promoting new international health regulations and whatnot, so it's not going to go away.
Yeah, you need to be praying about that, because that is, mm-hmm. It would be complete, really, control. But today, in our first session, we're going to do something very special. And so we have another guest, and it's one of my heroes, and I make no bones about it. I love Pastor Joseph Parker. He is one of the greatest men I've had the privilege of knowing. Thank you, Pastor Parker, for joining us.
Great to be with you, Brother Bert.
An hour of intercession.
Yes, sir.
Okay, he records that each day. He does not stay up in the middle of the night to do it live.
Not anymore.
But I know I talk about this when you're on with us, but listen, I want to tell you, I've driven from Birmingham, Alabama to Tupelo, Mississippi many nights listening to Pastor Joseph, and it was a comforting voice, and you still have that voice, brother, and I appreciate you.
Well, praise the Lord. Great to be with you today.
It's good. Well, something special is going on this month, the month of June, here at AFA. AFR is promoting it, and it has something to do with the Ten Commandments, not the Ten Suggestions. Do you remember that a long time ago?
Yeah. I remember hearing about that.
Yeah. So. No, it's Ten Commandments. Would you mind telling us about this project that AFA is promoting and excited about?
All right. My privilege to be able to do that. The Ten Commandments Project is a project we've been doing actually for several years, and it seemed to be expanding and growing more and more each year, and I'm more excited about it each year as well. But it is a discipleship project. It's specifically designed to help disciple young people in the Word of God, in particular using the Ten Commandments. And it's good for us to know, you know, the Ten Commandments are found in their entirety in two places in the Word of God, Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. But so a few very important things to know about it is sometimes people make the big mistake of trying to say, well, that's Old Testament. Well, that yes, it's found in the Old Testament, but it's the moral law of God, which never changes.
Amen.
It's just as relevant today as they ever were. And so this project, there are three different sides to it, but the main part that we're emphasizing today is the Ten Commandments speech challenge that's going on. It began June 1st, and its deadline is June the 30th. But we're asking young people to write a speech or have someone to help them to write a speech on this specific topic. Why are the Ten Commandments important? Now, in years gone by, we've had them do speeches on one particular commandment. But this time, the topic is, why are the Ten Commandments important? And we ask them to try to shoot for 3 to 5 minutes, but any length is welcome. And then we invite you to record it on your cell phone or any other recording device and upload it. Go to afr.net/Ten Commandments. Write the word T-E-N Commandments out. But afr.net/Ten Commandments. There's also more information about the Ten Commandments Project there on that website as well.
Well, I want to tell you guys the Ten Commandments are important. And you said this, and I just got to make a comment on it. It's found two times there in the Old Testament. And the first one is in Exodus when they were about to go into the Promised Land. And then Kadesh Barnea hit, and they refused to go in. So they wandered for about 40 years. And then in Deuteronomy, which means second law, he quoted them again right before, guess what? They were to go into the Promised Land. So I'll ask you, Matthew, and you can comment on it. I think the Ten Commandments has a lot to do with God's government that he desires for his people. Does that make sense, what I just said? Because of what it says, but also when he gave it. He gave it to them right before they were to occupy the land.
Sure, and the fact that he gave it, that he repeated it, you know, it just proves that it is certainly extremely important for us, for our children to be teaching. That's why I'm so glad Pastor Joseph is doing what he's doing and trying to disciple our children in this way.
And here's the word, and I want you to comment on it, discipleship. Is there anything more important than parents discipling their children as followers of Jesus Christ?
Well, you know, we could spend 3 hours on that. I don't think we can do that. But, you know, Brother Bert, I think it's helpful to know that really every issue is really a discipleship issue. Because our goal is how do you glorify God in this part of your life? That's the question we're to ask. And, of course, you know, one of the great things about the Ten Commandments is it covers the foundational areas of life about how we honor God and how we love and honor each other. And some of the biggest challenges and problems in our culture today are a direct result of people violating the Ten Commandments. And so they're foundational. They're wonderful tools for us to preach and teach from consistently as the church, because they help address some of the biggest issues that man faces.
And they're relational. Now, when you divide the Ten Commandments up into two categories, it's man's relationship with God and then man's relationship with others. And that is the whole idea. And so let me see. Salvation is a relationship with God that changes our relationship with one another. Now, they weren't given for salvation. That's not the purpose. But I want to just tell you, with all my heart, and we talked about this too earlier, it shows you the missional part of the whole Bible. The other program that I do is Exploring Missions. You guys know that. Both of you have been on that program, by the way. And when I can't help it, every time I open a page, I was taught, you'll find Jesus. But let me just tell you, just about every time I open a page, I find the idea of missions. And Ten Commandments has that to let us know who God is. Ten Commandments does that. If you know the Ten Commandments, you know something of the character of God, don't you, Pastor Joseph?
You really do. And you know, one issue, Brother Bert, that I think is so good for us as believers to really pursue in the whole area of discipleship is, amongst other things, Satan is always trying to make us see discipleship as a burden and a major responsibility. Well, it's certainly a major responsibility, but to be honest, it's a joy. It's a privilege. And when parents in particular come to recognize that one of the greatest joys in life is to do what they can to help lead their child to Christ and then help them to grow up, there's nothing better for our children than the Word of God. And so when we learn to help them find joy in spending time in the Word and growing together, it is so good. So encouraging to not see it as a big burden, but as a joy to help the children come to learn to walk with God. That's so important. That's an important goal to pursue.
Now, I want to turn to Matthew, and got just a little time left, but you have a son. It wasn't the Ten Commandment projects. It was another project, but he advanced quickly in the area of speaking as well. So how old was your son when he started this?
So he began participating in the National Bible Bee. He was
seven years old.
And now all of our children participate. It's not really optional, but we do give them the option as to whether or not they want to try to advance in it.
And so
one of mine does. He enjoys that and seems to be gifted in that area. And so for the past, going to be 12. And so every year since he began, he has qualified and made the national competition. We haven't always been able to go, but he's made it there. So, and it is a discipleship program, as Pastor Joseph is talking about. It's scripture memorization, but it's much more than that. It's learning the Word and learning how to apply the Word.
It's still discipleship, isn't it, Pastor Joseph?
It is, very much so.
Okay, do they have to memorize the Ten Commandments in order to make this speech?
Well, they really should, but they for this part of the project, it's not required to memorize the Ten Commandments. But, you know, Brother Bert, I think it's wise for us as I think every believer ought to memorize them and have their children memorize them too. But to do the speech, it's not required if they'll just simply do the speech. And again, they can write their own speech, but they can get help. Or in some instances, some kids may have somebody else, a dad or mom or somebody else, write the speech entirely. But this is why it's still very productive. When they're reading it, the truth of God's Word is still filtering through their heart and their mind. So it's still productive in that regard. And you know, there are some kids who may think, oh, I don't know how to write a speech. I can't. Well, it's fine to get help. We encourage you to get help. But participating is just, our experience has been, it's been life-changing for many of the children that have participated. And one of our goals, too, is once they've done the speech, we want to have them to come on the Hour of Intercession broadcast and share the speech, let them talk about what they learned through it, and talk to their parents. And it's always fun to listen to the parents who observed their child as they were going through the process. And the parents are just grateful and encouraged and just proud all in one of seeing what God did in their child's life in the process. Then.
And this is the Ten Commandments Project, and they can get on it by going to the AFA page.
Well,
and give us that again, and listen, everybody out there, write this down. If you go to AFA, you've got there halfway, but the rest of it is.
The specific website is afr.net/Ten Commandments.
It's AFR. Okay.
AFR.
Well, Pastor Joseph, I thank you. And this has been going on for a few years, but it's growing, and we're expecting great things this year. And we're praising God for what He's going to do.
I think, amongst other things, the Lord's helping us discover new preachers every day through this project.
I would have been one of those kids. Me? Make a speech? Now, I know what I do now, but I didn't back then. I could have memorized the Ten Commandments, but making a speech about them, I'd have stuttered and stammered and everything else. So But go to that website, and you'll find out how to participate and be a part of it. Again, thank you, Pastor Joseph.
Thank you so much.
Well, Matthew, you and I are going to turn to the scripture about the Bible being authoritative.
All right.
That we can depend on it. It is dependable, and we don't have to question it. We know it is God's word, and that is the truth. So join us back again right after this break for more of Exploring the Word.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
I woke up with the sunshine shining on down, coming through the window pane. Got so many blessings all around, and joy written on my face. My worries are gone.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. I hope you're counting your blessings. That's a new way of looking at your blessings. They do come in. And I quote my friend that's in heaven now, Bill Stafford, a great evangelist. He said, when will we realize that everything above hell is grace? If you're breathing, it is a blessing. And if you've never trusted Jesus, you have the opportunity to know him, follow him, and spend eternity with him. I hope you know that. If you don't, we pray that you would come to him today. Well, as I said earlier, Alex is out today. He is traveling. He's probably maybe already in Billings, Montana. We didn't get the exact time when he would be arriving, but he has his camp up there with the youth, and I'm sure there's some adults who are there. So be praying that God would be effective. And then he leaves there and goes to Texas and is there, I think, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, or maybe Saturday and Sunday. Matthew, you ever thank God that Alex McFarland travels and you don't have to?
Oh, man, he's a busy man.
He is. And if I tried to keep up with him and do what he does, and we have fun with him. You know, we'll have 3 minutes before the program starts, and he's already connected and talked to Brent. And then he'll step away, and we'll say, well, he's writing another chapter in his book while he's waiting. No, moss does not grow under Alex's feet. I'm a busy and I'm hyper, but I'm more of a one-track guy. He's a multi-track guy, taking care of so many things. Pray for Alex, and I say that truthfully. He's on the road a lot. Pray for his wife, Angie, just a great guy. He's not here, so I can brag on him. He is a guy that loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart. Mm. He loves his word, and he loves to share his word. And he says this. He said, I'll preach at the drop of a hat, so invite me. And he said, if I need to, I'll drop the hat so I can preach. And so Alex is a great guy. But it's good to have you here, brother. We appreciate
good
you.
Good to be here. Good
and
be
we're
here.
Talking about the authority of the word of God. And I want to start out with one verse. And then, Matthew, you can come in, or you want to read one of the verses you have. But let me read this one. The Bible is authoritative. We have that question quite often. How can we trust the Bible? Is it everything God wanted, or is there some in there that God did not want? How do we know the 66 books that we have are God's, choice? I tell folks, if he could give it through inspiration and revelation, he could collect it that way as well. And I trust God that he collected it and uses men to do it. He used men to write it. He used men to collect it. But I do trust him. The scripture I want to use, and it's about God's revelation, is Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, in college and in seminary, I had to read part of the Quran. I had to read some of the Book of Mormon. I had to read some other material that religion is based upon. And I just tell you, the distinctiveness and the difference is uncategorically true. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive and powerful. That's what you have in the Word of God, isn't it, Matthew?
Amen. And, I mean, as you just read from Hebrews, it's been said, it's not original to me, of course, but you can read a lot of books, but the Bible is the book that will read you back. And that's exactly what you just read. You know, it's a discerner of our thoughts and our hearts. I mean, you read it, and it tells you who you are and where you are in life.
And the Word of God is that powerful. And it is basically the only thing that I know that the Bible says separates soul and spirit. Now, we are body, soul, and spirit ourselves. We in the image of God. I don't know everything it means. But by the way, if you want to get that resource in the image of God, you can. It's an awesome resource. But I do know one of the things that the image is God. He is three, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We're three, body, soul, and spirit. Now, we are a soul. We are a body. But then spiritually, you know, through Adam's sin, we died, but we can be made alive in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And the soul and spirit, I'm going to use this word, is very intertwined. Mm-hmm. You know, how they feed and agree with one another, some conflict with one another. But the Word of God is able to divide that, to let a person know you may feel good about yourself soulishly, but spiritually you find out you're dead. You
right.
can't. I think the Word of God. Well, I know the Word of God does that, doesn't it?
Sure, sure. It helps us to not be, you know, tossed to and fro and led astray by emotions or just feelings. I mean, it is the dividing truth.
So when someone reads the Word of God, whether it's in Genesis or Revelation, they're reading what God wanted us to have. Now, I would ask you this: are there some that is more? And I may be using the wrong word, important or decisive, or I would say speak clearly to our situation than others. Like, I'll put it this way. I'm reading through the Bible, and I got there all the assignments, like Nehemiah. He worked on this side of the wall. He worked on that side of the wall, and their names are hard to pronounce. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Now, that's important, and it's the Word of God. But then when you get to John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world. You know, there are that has greater, would it be greater impact?
Sure.
Would that be the best way to say what I was trying to say earlier?
Yeah, I think so. And of course, you know, at various times in life, Scripture is going to, you know, there's one interpretation, of course, but it's going to speak to you in different ways at different times in life, depending on what you're going through. And certainly that message of salvation is prominent throughout all of Scripture, and you know, it should catch our attention all the time.
All the time. We have people, and I want you to give your honest answer on this too, like you would not be honest about it. But anyway, people ask us, okay, I've been saved, hadn't been saved long, where would you suggest starting to read the Scriptures? Have you got a suggestion for that? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, I would probably say the Gospel of John would be a wonderful place to begin.
That's what I tell them.
Yeah.
Because the Gospel of John, and those of you who are listening, and you may have been saved a while, but you haven't dug into the Word of God, and you feel you need to start in John. Let me tell you, there's the great I ams in the book of John when Jesus reveals who he is, kind of referring back to the Old Testament. Isn't that how it's amazing how the Old and New Testament, how it connects? The other thing, there's 11 conversations in the Gospel of John that he has with individuals or groups, 11 conversations. And the Gospel of John, it really concentrates on the words of Jesus more so than the actions. Is it 7 miracles? Yeah, 7 miracles that are in the Gospel of John. And there's more recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke than those 7. But John is concentrating on revealing to us who Jesus Christ is.
That's right. And he says that it was written that we could know. And you know, all the things couldn't even be contained if they were to have been written. And so if you want to know about Jesus, then that's why I would say go to John.
Let me give you one more scripture, and you may have one too. 2 Timothy 3:16, okay? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Every good work.
You mean the Word of God has that? If the Holy Spirit of God who indwells us. And that's what we've been talking about the last 2 days here on Exploring the Word, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to equip the saints with gifts. You combine that, the man of God, filled with the Spirit of God, reading the Word of God, to do the work of God.
It's a recipe for success for the Christian.
It really is. Now, what is success? It is to be strong and courageous, and no matter when, where, or how.
Mm-hmm.
So the Word of God is that powerful and that good, and it thoroughly equips you. If you're wondering, you're listening, and you're wondering, well, I'm wavering, you know? Let me just share with you. Get into the Word of God on a consistent basis and ask the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know. Right now, I'm reading through it, the whole Bible. But I would say one of the ways that I read the Bible, I'm going to read a section. But if I get to a scripture and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit of God just bears down on me on a word or phrase or part of that, I don't need to just pass it on. Matthew.
Drill down. That's what I say. Yeah, drill down and take some time. And if the Lord is speaking to you in that particular passage, then you know, see what's there and try to understand it and allow the Holy Spirit to convict you, to challenge you, encourage you, whatever it may be in that particular time.
Have you found out reading the same passage of Scripture and then come back and read it again maybe months or years later, and you've experienced some things has happened into your life, you've had something of the Word of God, maybe a message you've heard, even a song that God uses in your life, and you come back to that passage and you say, aha, look at that. Has that ever happened?
Oh, absolutely. It even happens with me as a preacher, you know. Before I had children, I could preach about children and raising raising a family and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But after
you were the expert then.
I could tell you what the Bible said.
Yeah.
But after having children of my own, the Bible hasn't changed, but it's taken on a different meaning. It relates to me in a different way than it did before I had children. And so, yeah, the Bible is certainly like that. It doesn't change, of course, but at different times in our lives, based on what we're going through and experiencing, certainly it speaks to us in a way that it might not have before.
I've read two scriptures, and I got plenty more, but I wanted you. I know you have some as well.
Yeah, we're talking about the Bible and that it can be trusted, and I always like what Paul said in Galatians 1, and you know, we don't know where he was when he received this revelation. I think possibly his time in the Arabian wilderness, maybe. But anyway, I mean, he said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, Paul's kind of defending himself there, his apostleship to a degree. But, he's telling them point blank, this is not my words. These words came from divine revelation, you know, this is the Word of God. I like what Jesus said in John 17, the high priestly prayer. He said, sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word, the Word of God, thy word is truth.
And you mean there's no such thing as my truth and your truth?
I don't think it is, Brother Bert.
I admit, every once in a while I'll hear that, and I want to take my shoe off and throw it. Listen, no, it is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is. He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
And those of you that are listening, if you're using, my truth, no. It is the truth of what Jesus says. With that in mind, I want to share this passage. It's in we've used the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this one in Psalm 119, 160. Now, there's 100, and if I remember right, 176 verses in Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter, quote, in the Bible, but listen to verse 160. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of you righteous judgments, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever.
Mm.
Listen, the entirety of your word is truth. Not one jot or one tittle
I just wanted to piggyback on that. Yeah. I've got one from Psalms as well. Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The testimony is in God's word. It is God's word, of course. Making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, which are found in God's word, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure. That's Psalm 19:7-8. I mean, all of those things listed right there about God's word.
Now, people say, well, you're just telling us what the Bible would say about itself. That doesn't prove anything. Well, I think it does. But the times in my life, and I haven't had many, but I had one very severe one. I would say it was a challenge to my faith, mm-hmm. a crisis of faith is what we call it, the dark night of the soul, as mm-hmm. someone has said. And what brought me to the place in my life where I understood the Bible to be the Word of God is when I remembered, and I was driving, I can tell you where I was here in Northeast Mississippi on a dark, dark night, and is this all true? Is this all right? And I was thinking about the Old Testament and all the prophecies concerning Jesus mm-hmm. Christ. Mm-hmm. And how many of them came true in the New Testament?
All of them except for those that are yet to be fulfilled. or all of them about Jesus, but yeah.
And I want to read a scripture. And we just let everybody know, in the next segment, we normally go straight to phone calls. We may wait to the middle of that time to do that. And so I want to read this passage before we go away. And this is in Luke 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee. And he said, and he taught in the synagogue, he came to Nazareth, as was his custom. He went there on the Sabbath day. They handed the book to him from Isaiah. And he said this, listen, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now listen, he closed the book, he sat down, and then in verse 21, some of the greatest words, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Mm. Every scripture fulfilled in Christ Jesus.
Mm. Amen.
Well, we're going to come back and we're going to discuss some more about the authority of scriptures and your confidence that you can have in the Word of God. So stay tuned for more.
Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it is a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
People have value, but just where does it come from?
God created us in his image, as male and female.
But the enemy is deceiving so many.
We like to shake our fist at God and say, why did you make me this way? I don't like it. I'm going to define who I am for myself.
We must stand on God's truth.
Can we change God's words? Can we change the tense? It's just the tense of the verb. Come on. To be able to get along with everybody, we don't have the luxury to edit what God has said.
In His Image is a life-changing film that takes you through Scripture and shares powerful testimonies to destroy Satan's attempts to pervert God's perfect design.
There's only one last major holdout in society to shed light on what the truth is, and that is the church.
Watch it again or for the first time. Get the 2-DVD set at resources.afa.net. Resources.afa.net.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness.
My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. 18 states have now filed a lawsuit against the Biden Equal Employment Opportunity Commission after it released new sexual harassment guidelines extending Title VII's protections against sex-based discrimination to cover gender identity. The new guidelines insist an employer may be liable for improper pronoun usage by its employees or for keeping male employees out of the women's restroom, and vice versa. The states suing to stop this garbage include Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, Nebraska, Ohio, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, Virginia, and West Virginia.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. My name is Matthew White. I'm sitting in for Brother Alex today, joining Brother Bert Harper here in the studio.
Hard to say, Brother Harper, isn't it? It's Bert.
Brother Bert, okay.
I can name on one hand, probably, after 50 years of preaching, people that call me Brother Harper. It's just Brother Bert. Whatever it is, it comes across that way, Matthew.
So. Well, I'm whatever your name is, Brother Bert, I'm glad to be here with you today, and it's always good to be able to join you guys on the program. We're talking about a very important subject today, one that really I can't think of many that would be very more important than the authority of Scripture, because if Scripture is true, then it ought to dictate how we live, and if it's not true, then I guess what would it really matter anyway?
Well, he said if the resurrection is not true, we're of men most miserable. If the word of God is not the word of God, we're of men most miserable as well.
Absolutely.
And it is that way. Well, I know you got some scripture. I've read several. You've read two. Do you got another scripture that you just want to share with us today or another thought? And then we're going to wait just a few minutes before we go to the phone lines because we felt like we had the interview and we wanted to spend a little bit more time on this subject.
Sure. Yeah. You mentioned how some people would say, well, you're using scripture to prove scripture. And then you mentioned the prophecies about Christ, and I had some of those jotted down as well, certainly, because there's no way a person without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit would be able to predict, 2,000 years or 700 years, 800 years, however long in advance, what was going to happen. And, of course, we know that they did with Christ, but there's another one. It was a prophecy, and I know you know what I'm talking about. It was Isaiah with Cyrus. Excuse me.
That's amazing.
Yeah, 200 years before he would come on the scene, and Isaiah called him, Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 28, and then the next chapter, 45, verse 1, he called him by name, 200 years. And, of course, skeptics like to...
He wrote that after.
He wrote that after, or it was somebody else wrote it and added it, but and so forth. But nonetheless, I don't believe that's the case. I believe Isaiah, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, could see that.
Amen.
And all of those, the prophecies about Jesus, all of those, no other book can do that. No other person can do that. Only one under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit could predict something like that.
I want to read another one from the book of Luke, and this really blesses me to hear it. It's in Luke chapter 24, verse 27. Let me say it. The resurrection has taken place. There's these two people on their road to Emmaus. They've left Jerusalem. And on the way, Jesus joins them, and they do not recognize him until they break the bread, and he, blesses it. Verse 27 says this is what Jesus did. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. If I could choose a Bible class to be in that I look at in the scriptures, Paul's preaching, the day of Pentecost with Peter, I would choose this one.
Yeah.
Jesus just opening up from Genesis, the law, the prophets, and showing himself. This is me. Hey, guys, this is me.
There's a gospel song by Michael Combs entitled "It Was Me," and it's based on this passage of scripture. And he goes back and he imagines what Jesus would have been saying to these men. You know, when you go back to the Hebrew children in the flame, you know, that was me there.
Amen. Hey, Matthew, you're going to start preaching in a minute. This is awesome,
in the wilderness,
man.
When the children had nothing there to eat, that was me that provided for it. You know, and that's what Luke was saying here. You know, I can't imagine what that would have been like to be sitting under him, and you know the stories, but then Jesus is saying, hey, that was me when that was taking place.
You know, in the fullness of time, he came. But here he is filling the Old Testament scriptures that they loved, and now he's filling it full of himself.
That's right. That's
right. Sure, that was me. One more reason I want to say, scientific. We hear that all the time. Scientific. Science proves it. The science that's in the Bible proves the Word of God to be, I would say, authoritative, inspired, perfect in every way. Let me see, the flat earth. God had something to say to Isaiah about him sitting on the sphere of the earth.
Right.
We're talking about eight centuries before Christ was born.
Sure.
That it was revealed. It's not flat. It's a sphere. It's rounding.
Sure.
That's in the Word of God.
In the Word of God. And we know from science that everything is made up of time, space, and matter. And read Genesis 1. Genesis 1:1. You get it right there in the beginning. That's what it is, right there in the beginning. So this idea that the Bible does not comport with science is ridiculous to me.
Hey, it's science that needs to come up to the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God had it right, and then when science discovers something, they find out, how about the blood? Life is in the blood.
Right.
You know, we were knitted together in our mother's womb. Have you looked at the pictures of DNA in that strip and how it just, it's like it's knit? I mean, that's the word, knit
sure.
together, and it fits together in all of that.
Yeah, there's no contradiction there in God's word, in science, or in nature, or in anything that we can observe.
So the authority of God's word is real, and we just want to share with you that you can depend upon it. And I want to go back, and let me open up the phone lines in case you want to call in today. If you've got a prayer need, and we want to make this evangelistic. If you've got someone you're praying for, you don't have to call them by name. You can say it's your son or whatever. We want to pray for them today. And that number, if you would call, 888-589-8840. But while we're waiting on those calls, Matthew and I are going to go on. The most, even though it's accurate in history, which gives us dependence upon, although it's accurate in prophecies, which we know, it's accurate in science, the science that it shows us, the most important thing is the salvation that we can have in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one can come unto the Father but by me, he is saying there's no alternate, there's no alternative, there's not a plan B. The only way is through him, Matthew.
That is it. I often say that as as Christians, we preach the most inclusively exclusive gospel that there is. You know, it is exclusive in that you're only going to come to God the Father through Christ the Son. That is it, through him. But it's inclusive in that anyone who will may come.
Amen. And so we've got people that are online, and we're going to go to the lines, and we're going to talk to Robert in Louisiana. Robert, thank you for calling today.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I really enjoy the program, and it's a blessing of God that y'all are able to do this. Sometimes it's just awesome what God does.
Amen.
I wanted to ask for a prayer request for my wife. We're having some tests done tomorrow. Don't know exactly what's going on, but I definitely know that prayer works in all things. So I want to pray for her to have good results, and regardless of what their results are, we're going to believe in God.
Amen, Robert. Do you mind giving us your wife's first name?
Her name is Stacy.
Stacy. Matthew, would you mind praying for Stacy?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we just lift up Stacy to you at this time, and Robert as well, as he is with her during these tests that are coming up. We just pray, Father, that you would give them comfort and peace, and Lord, for the doctors and the staff who will be administering the test, we pray that you'd give them wisdom and guidance as well. And Lord, we just pray that you would provide them with some insight as to what may be going on so that they could receive the healing that they need and the answers that they need. Lord, we pray all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Robert, thank you for calling in. And this means, here's what we're asking a lot of folks do. A lot of you do it automatically. You write the name down and you pray for them, especially in the next 24 hours. And so, Stacy, we're praying for you. And Robert, thank you for calling. Let's go to Kansas and talk to Marla. Marla, thank you for calling Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you for having me. This is my first time calling in.
Well, thank you for calling. Do you have a prayer request or a question?
I have a prayer request. My son used to be, saved, and he went to church. He was raised in church. That's after my divorce from my ex-husband. And he had triplets with his girlfriend. Of course, you know, that it wasn't planned and that they weren't married or anything, but she's supposed to be a saved again Christian, but she has driven him away from believing in Jesus, or so he says to me, and I can't get him to come to church. I go to church regularly, and it's a fun church, a lot of young people, but he denies the existence of God anymore, and then his father, my ex-husband, I don't believe he's ever been saved. Okay. And I'm worried about him.
Okay, Marla. We're going to pray for them. We're praying for Marla's son. Chances are, a lot of times, they weren't saved. Either way, he needs to experience the grace of God through Jesus Christ and the power. And Marla, let me just share with you, keep on living godly before him. Keep praying for him. And you're letting others know about your son and your ex-husband as well. And I'm going to pray for them right now, Marla. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for Marla, for her calling in, for her listening. First time she's called. It wasn't a question about the scripture. She believes the word of God. She knows you. But, Father, she's concerned about her son. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, wherever he is right now, he may be working, he may be driving. We don't know where he is. But the power of God would fall upon him right now where he is, that he would realize there is something missing in his life. Father, make it known to him. And then I pray you'd bring people into his life that would remind him of what he was taught concerning Christ Jesus, concerning the Father and how caring and loving he is. And Father, I pray you would give him opportunity after opportunity to turn to you. We're trusting you to do that in his life, to draw him to yourself. And for the ex-husband, Father, probably never been born again. Father, I'm praying that you would do the same for him where he is right now, that you would show yourself strong to him, that he would wonder, what's this strangeness that's going on? And he would begin a desire to know you. We're praying this and believing this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Marla, thank you for calling. Let's go to Luke in Tennessee. Luke, thank you for calling.
Okay. Well, hey, it's Luke from Texas.
Oh, Texas. Yeah, I had the wrong T. I see it now, man. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I got a prayer request, actually two. My mother is feeling sick right now. She went to the dentist and had some teeth pulled, and now she, you know, just with pain and that, she's been feeling very bad. But my pastor's mother, her name is Jackie Davidson, She took a trip to Italy, but she got somehow was pushed from behind and fell and broke her shoulder in three places. And they said it's irreplaceable. They're going to have to, do a replacement on it. And anyway, she is in a lot of pain right now. So, Sister Jackie Davidson, if they could pray for her.
Okay, we will. And your mother's first name?
Doris.
Doris. Okay. Matt, would you take up time praying for Doris and Jackie?
Absolutely. Lord, we thank you for Luke calling in today and sharing these requests with us. And Father, we just pray for his mother, Doris. We just pray, God, that you would be with her with the pain that she may still be experiencing from her recent dentist procedures. We just pray that you just comfort her, God, and just help the pain to subside. And then for Luke's pastor's mother, Jackie Davidson, and all of the shoulder pain that she's experiencing, Lord, we just pray that you would bless her, heal her, be with the doctors and the staff as they explore what options there may be there and what it is they need to do to resolve that situation, to free her of the pain, and to help her on the road to recovery. God, we just lift them all up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Mary from Tennessee, we were not going to have time, but I see your prayer request for upcoming elections. Now, when we say that, most of the time people think of only the presidential election, but we're praying. We got Senate races. We have congressmen, representatives, House of Representatives, and we're praying that godly people, and the agenda is strong. The anti-Christian agenda is very strong these days. And so we're praying that God would work in believers' lives, that they would understand that if my people who are called by my name will be we the people.
Right.
We would have something to say about this election, wouldn't we, Matthew?
Absolutely. And if we would turn to the word that we've been talking about today, the word that is our authority for living, then we could change things.
So what we do, we measure their belief on the Word of God.
The Word of God.
What do they say about life? What do they say about marriage? What do they say, you know, compared not to what I think or my truth, but the truth of the Word of God?
The Scripture.
Hey, brother, thank you for being
with
us.
Thank you, Brother Burke.
It's a joy to be with you, man.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
It's a lot easier face-to-face than it is someone at a distance, isn't it?
That's right.
Well, I appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. We pray that you would have a great evening. Many of you are heading to prayer meeting, and we've got a lot to pray about, so I hope you'll do that. Again, thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Tell someone about the program, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.